go from spectator to active magician in your dreams. That's our hopes. Nikki Wardwell-Sleeth provides everything you need to both develop your lucid dreaming ability and enhance your magic while lucid. She has a book coming out May 8th, 2025, Dream Sorcery, The Ritual and Magic of Lucid Dreaming. We're discussing that on this evening's program. If you have questions for our guest, thoughts, ideas, things that you'd like to run past us, you can hit me up on the talk and text line, 651-461-9226, or give us a call, 651-461-9226. I've gotten some messages here. People are saying, but Dave, I really don't dream. I never dream. I never have dreams. Well, let me just give you this bit of advice. Please talk to your doctor about maybe having a sleep study, because maybe you're in apnea. You're not getting deep enough sleeps. And I'm guessing you probably wake up unrested, unfulfilled, and not feeling right. If you're not dreaming at all, and that's your belief system, just get checked by your doctor or neurologist just to make sure that you're okay physically. And as our guest mentioned, sometimes we have dreams and they're so rapid fire, or things happen that you're not going to remember all these things. But when you do wake up and you have those memories, start to write, journal those dreams and remember those dreams. And then that will start to build that muscle and unlock new potential for yourself. You mentioned Nikki and joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We have Nikki Wardwell-Sleeth. You mentioned, if you have trouble sleeping at night, a lot of time it's that monkey chatter in our brain that is keeping us awake. And one thing I've encouraged people to do, and I do when I notice I'm really starting to fall into bad sleeping patterns, you've all heard of being listless at night when you're tossing and turning and you're being listless. I love the concept of make a list before bed. What are the things I know I need to accomplish tomorrow? Make a list. That's your spell list. That's your book of shadows, baby. You're writing down the things you're going to accomplish. You're setting that intention. And here's the beauty. Some people call it cheating. I call it being real. If you've got your list and then tomorrow in between number one and number two, you do another job, write it down that you did that job. Well, Dave, that's cheating. It wasn't on my list. No, it's not cheating, because at the end of the day, you can look back with a sense of pride of all the things you did accomplish, all the things you didn't give yourself credit for throughout the day. Sometimes we feel like the day gets away from us and we didn't accomplish anything and we're failing at life, we're failing at this, we're failing at that. But when you start to journal and look at the things that you do every day, you'll see that there is magic, because you will be reminded of just how much you did in a very short amount of time. So be kind to yourself and start making those lists at night. And give yourself permission that if you don't complete the list, move it over to the next day's list. And just continue to build the lists and work on them. X them off. I guarantee you, it's the silliest thing, but they always knew us best, Nikki, when we were kids. You accomplish something, you got a star on the board. Man, who didn't want to get that star from your teacher, your parents, whatever, right? You want that sense of accomplishment of scratching something off the list. I love that motion. That's why I'll add other things that I've done for the day. And at the end of the day, I do feel better. And I've realized I've slept better when I realize that I have accomplished things and I haven't let time master me.
Yes, we love to feel accomplished. And yeah. Actually, that's one of the reasons why sometimes people don't achieve lucid dreaming, because they feel like meditation and those kinds of focusing activities that lead to it are so vague. They feel like they're not accomplishing something from it, that it's abstract. And the thing is, this is what I tell people, like, if you really want to become lucid, the humble approach to take is to tell yourself that it's okay if you don't. When you kind of release the pressure, the mind will relax. You will fall asleep more easily, too, when you take pressure off your mind. Like you said, that's what list making does. You know, it kind of puts the pressure in a different place and takes it away from us for the moment so we can relax. But when you do meditation, when you do dream journaling, when you do reality checks, we haven't talked about that yet, really, but and the other things that make lucid dreaming likely, it benefits you anyway, even if you don't become lucid. So that's what I tell people to try to remember. Like, enjoy doing these things because it is good for you, whether you end up becoming lucid in your dreams or not. but you do need to do these things if you want to have that likelihood. So I think it's a win-win, personally.
Agreed.
And if we need to look at it that way in order to, you know, lend to success. So reality checking is another thing on the list that's very important in addition to meditation and dream journaling to predispose you to lucidity. And this means making a habit of testing the nature of your reality all through your waking day, as many times a day as you can possibly fit in. Now, there's a famous author some of you may have heard of from the 70s, Carlos Castaneda.
Yeah.
He wrote The Teachings of Don Juan, and his book on lucid dreaming was called The Art of Dreaming. And in these accounts, you know, his Yaqui Indian mentor was teaching him how to make sure that he would wake up in his dreams and become lucid, because it was considered essential to the shamanic practices of studying spirit. And so he said that what he should do all day, whenever he thinks of it, is to stare at his hand. And, you know, you can do this right now. Anyone listening, you know, you take one hand, look at your palm and kind of inspect it and see what you can notice. Look at the lines in your palm if you're wearing rings, you know, look at them if you have tattoos, look at them. Then turn your hand over and look at the other side and you look at what that looks like. And then you flip it back and see if anything has changed on the first side that you were looking at.
What?
Because if you're dreaming, it's highly likely that that will happen. In the dream world, when you hyper-focus and you turn your hand back over, it may suddenly have no fingers. It may have too many fingers. Your fingers may be webbed. Your accessories may be gone. Something will shift because it's not a physical reality. It's a thought-responsive reality.
Could it be? Could it be, Nikki? Let's take a deep hit off the bong on this one. Could it be, though, that when you're that hyper-focused in the dream realm, and I'm looking at the back of my hand, and I see my leather Irish bracelet, I see my skull spider tattoo, I see my my Templar ring, and then I roll my hand over, and I look at my cracked and chapped palm, thank you, cold weather Minnesota, and I stare at it for a few minutes, and I flip it back over, and now my hands are webbed, and the spider skull tattoo is gone. Could it be that I'm just seeing another version of myself who's also in that moment focusing on the same thing?
It absolutely could be. But here's the thing, Dave. If that happens, you're going to go, oh, I'm dreaming. Because that won't happen in our physical reality.
Right.
So, you know, unless you've taken a hit off the bong, which, you know, let's not go there.
Yeah.
But
so if you're driving, don't be staring at your hand right now and don't take a hit off the bong. Those are two important lessons for life that are important to realize.
And there are other ways of reality checking.
Right.
You know, that's not the most subtle one. Like you want to do reality checks so often in waking that it becomes a habit that you will eventually start to do it in your dreams as well. So because you can't really stare at your hand like a psycho in a board meeting like that, you know, here's one that I like. So if you take one hand and just quickly pinch your nostrils shut and try to take a nice deep breath in through your nose, obviously it won't work if you've got your nostrils pinched shut, and you'll feel the stoppage of the air. You'll notice how it feels to have that not go through. Well, if you make a habit of doing that, and this is a little more subtle because you can do it quickly and people don't tend to notice, like if you just touch your nose, you know, it's a normal sort of thing that people do. So you can do it in public and not, you know, people won't think you're wacky.
Okay.
But if you do this in a dream because you've developed the habit, you'll pinch your nostrils and you'll take that deep breath in and you'll realize the air goes through and you get this lovely deep breath, because when you're dreaming, your body's in your bed and you aren't really pinching your nostrils. So you take that deep breath and you still get the sensation of the breath going through. And so
this is like the movie Inception. He had the little like dreidel toy and he would spin it. And he knew that if he spun it and it started to dance around, I'm in a dream. Right. He knew that there was that's the break from reality. Speaking of break from reality, we've got a break from the fun and get some bills paid. We'll be back with more of the Paranormal 360 right after this. We're back. Our guest this evening, Nikki Wardwell-Sleeth. And again, folks, if you've missed any part of tonight's show, you'd like to catch up on it, go to WCCO.com. You can check out all of our podcasts there or listen wherever you listen to your very favorite podcasts. Just type in Paranormal 360. You can subscribe for free. Never miss another minute in the best in paranormal programming. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and tonight, Dream Sorcery, the Ritual and Magic of Lucid Dreaming. And during this this last 45 minutes we have together, I do want to make sure we get a chance to touch on spirit communication at some point, Nikki. But let's continue. I know every time you said, every time we start getting that squeeze going for the juice, we have to go to commercial break. But now we're back. Give me the juice.
All right. So, yeah, we talked about some things that predispose you to getting lucid and doing reality checks. So let's presume now that you're going along having a dream and you have that sensation of clarity, of revelation that comes upon you and you go, oh, because usually there is an aha moment.
Yeah, there is.
So it comes upon you and you realize, oh, my gosh, I'm dreaming. What do you do? The first thing to do is what I call anchoring yourself. So it's really easy to lose hold of a lucid dream very quickly. A surge of emotion will do it. Too much moving around really quickly in the dream scene will do it. So I like to look down at my feet and touch something in the dream world, like a wall, you know, or a tree, and remind myself that I'm dreaming and feel solid and kind of grounded in my dream body. This helps so that now I can do whatever is my lucid dream plan. Now, you mentioned making lists before bed. When I go to bed, the lists I make are not about the things I need to do in ordinary reality, but I make lists of what my priorities are for when I become lucid. So that I'm ready for this moment and I don't waste it. So as soon as I'm anchored, I'm going to activate my lucid dream plan. So whatever the thing is that I wanted to do as my top priority, and since you're interested in this, let's just say that it was I want to summon the spirit of my ancestor from the Salem witch trials, for example, because this is something that I've done numerous times, and I have an ancestor like that. So you would call out your command just to the dream space, and you need to make sure it's worded accurately so that it's not kind of leaving loopholes for other things to happen, because again, this is a thought responsive place. You know, I just said this on another program, but you know, one time I called out, you know, I wish to summon Odin, and guess what happened? Some rando guy named Odin showed up. It wasn't the deity of Norse mythology that I was hoping to speak to.
So you need to kind of I'm Odin. So can I help you?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so the next time I tried it, I made sure to be more concise, and I said something like, you know, I wish to have a discussion with the well-known all-father of Norse mythology known as Odin, and that worked. So you can say whatever your plan is. If you'd like to speak to a deceased loved one, you could speak to any deity spirit. You could talk to a famous angel, like a lot of people like Archangel, Michael, or some people just call him Michael, you know, or Mary or Freya or, you know, your great grandma. I mean, you can summon anyone, and they may or may not be able to arrive there in that dream reality in a form that you would recognize. But what's most important is after you give that verbal command to the space, you actually need to be able to sort of clear your mind and look around the dream scene and release expectation and just wait with curiosity to see what happens in response to your prompt. So because not all realities work the same way, you know, so just like in our physical reality here, we can't just rocket launch our physical bodies up into the sky and fly around. We have physics here that are dense, you know, that don't allow us to do that. And it's just part of the way this particular reality works. In other dream realities, you can do that. Not all of them. You know, I've learned that you can't just fly in every single dream reality you find yourself in just because you're dreaming. there are realities that are conscious realities that have different densities, different laws and rules of action. So just because you're dreaming and you summon a spirit doesn't mean they'll always be able to come, but they may be able to. Sometimes they'll send you a message or give you a vision. And there's a way sort of knowing. It feels so real in lucidity that you'll know if you got your answer. And it's hard for me to explain why that's true until you've kind of played with this further. And
well, because it's a real connection there, I think, right? I mean, when I had my dream visitation for my grandfather, it would be very easy to put it off as nothing more than the grieving process. But when you have a dream with somebody that's passed on and you're aware that you're speaking to somebody who's passed on and you're aware that they've come to speak with you after they've passed on and you can remember the smells, the sights, the sounds, the emotion of it much more than any other dream you've had where grandpa just shows up in the background or waves at you from the car as he passes by, it's something different, right? I mean, it's making an actual brain connection like you would a tactile memory that you'd be having in the waking state.
Absolutely. There's just, it's like you said, you kind of just know, you know, that was a real interaction when you've had it. And that's a whole thing, you know, dreams of deceased, and you don't even necessarily have to be lucid in order to have those real spirit interactions. But if you are lucid, you can choose to have them on purpose, you know, so that's a really beautiful thing for being able to, again, show that consciousness is not local to the body and that we can still keep these connections alive regardless of who is still here in the physical world and who is not. You know, if we do this purposefully, we can transcend the laws of time and space and work with our conscious awareness. So, yes, you can do that. And a lot of times, if you call out that prompt, you may get another dream character that shows up to speak with you, and they may come in a form that you recognize or feel familiar, or they may come in a form that you didn't expect, but you will know that it's authentic when it happens.
Can you do that in the waking time, though? Before I go to sleep, as I'm laying there, maybe doing that meditative moment where I'm into my breathing, I just, Mom, tonight I'd like for you to come to visit with me. Grandpa, if you're nearby, come by and visit with me. I give you permission to interact with me and communicate. And I'd also like to put my mind on, you know, solving some of the issues that I'm dealing with. Help give me some clarity and understanding. If you're kind of focused on something like that, that's different than just mind chatter, right? You're kind of dictating a dream list so that when you go into that dream realm, does that make it an easier connection for you?
It really does. There is loads of evidence to show that the things that we slip into thinking about right before sleep are likely to occur, you know, or have a bearing upon where we go, what dream realities we find ourselves in once we are fully asleep. So, yes, you do increase the chances when you set an intention like that right before bed. And I do it every night. So here's what I do every night before I go to sleep, and this has helped a lot of people. So the first thing I say to myself when I'm all comfortable is, I remember my dreams. I state it in the present. I don't like to state intention statements in the future tense because I feel like sometimes that can keep them always just out of reach in the future.
That makes
sense.
So
I like to say, I remember them. Like, I do it now. I remember my dreams. And I don't just say the words to myself. I actually envision for a moment how it is when I wake up in the morning and I'm jotting stuff down in my dream journal and it feels good to be retaining those memories. You know, so I really think about that. Then I say, in my dreams, I am lucid. And so I'm reiterating not only that I'll remember my dreams, but that I will wake up or become lucid in my dreams. And then I say, my lucid dream plan is, and I state whatever it's going to be. So if it's, you know, I want to speak to Grandma Margaret in my dreams tonight. And you can have the intention that it's what you're going to do, whether you're lucid or not. You know, I don't want people to think that the only magic of dreaming is in lucidity. It absolutely is not. We need to value and pay attention to our spontaneous night dreams. They are full of magic and inspiration and teachings for us. And so one thing that you can do, even if you don't become lucid, is, you know, at night you can say, let's say my dream intention is to speak to Grandma Margaret in my dream. When you wake up, you write down whatever it is that you got. And the way that I look at it is, even if she wasn't in my dream, I look at the dream almost the same way that I would as if I had pulled a tarot card. So I will interpret that dream as the response to my intention. And that can take some practice,
that's
you know,
brilliant.
And gaining of skill.
Yeah,
it works
so
really well.
We're always looking for that lightning bolt. And instead of the lightning bolt, look at the ramifications of what the dream said, right? If you're looking for, I want communication with mom tonight, and you have a dream where you're wrapped in bunnies and you know, surrounded by your favorite cupcakes and everything just feels like the warmest hug, you might not have seen mom, but there was something there kind of giving you that that feeling, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. We have to take another quick break. I'm sorry. We're squeezing the orange and the juice has to stop. We'll be right back. We've got more and your weather right after this. All right, folks, you want to start changing your life and changing the things you see. You have to start changing the way you look at it, the methods and the ways that you move forward. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Not only taking control of your living, waking life, but you can do it through dream sorcery. The Ritual and Magic of Lucid Dreaming is the name of the book coming out May 8th, 2025. Nikki Wardwell-Sleeth, our guest this evening. She was giving us some tips and hints at bedtime to kind of set those dream parameters, to set the idea of what you want. And let's continue from there, Nikki. You've got some great tips and hints. And if you've missed any of them, just go back, check out the podcast version, Paranormal 360, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. All right, Nikki, we're back. What could we do next to continue this journey into a good, progressive, stronger, lucid dream cycle and start to take control of our life?
Well, so we've gotten to the point of talking about speaking with spirits, mm-hmm. you know, and sort of the spirit nature of the dream realm. But there's so much that you could possibly choose to do as a lucid dream plan. And so it's kind of important to, at any given point in time, have your lucid dream plan ready to go. Like, even if you don't have a lucid cultivating practice mm-hmm. right now, you should almost make your statement, you know, say, okay, if I were to get lucid right now, here's what I would do. And write that statement out so that it is ready to go and you don't lose the opportunity when you become lucid. If we want to get a little bit more into the magic end, you know, for those listeners that might be interested in that.
Yes, please. Let's walk it through.
One of the reasons why lucidity is so great is because we can do the things that we can't do here magically in the same way. So, for example, you know, you can take a rune or a magical symbol or an astrological symbol. And a lot of times in waking magic, we do what's called signing that in the air, meaning you're projecting the energy of that symbol so that it hangs in the space and you're imagining the energy there because we can't physically see it usually, right? Like the physics that we're in don't allow us to. But let's say you go into your lucid dream and you project energy out of your fingers to draw, you know, a rune of strength or wealth or something in the air, you will get to see that energetic projection's effect upon the dream scene. And then you will understand how it feels and what it makes to happen. And it's like riding a bike. It's what I call creating a neural groove. So then when you see the cause and effect there and experience it firsthand, when you come back to waking and you're doing your magical practice, you actually can make that ritual action have a better effect because you know how it should feel. So your emotions, your own auric field, your mind respond better to it because you've already kind of laid down some pathways of experience for it. It's been shown that lucid dreaming is a great classroom for rehearsing things, you know, rehearsing skills that we want to be better at, practicing things we don't want to be afraid of so that we can do them better in waking. And I'm talking about the same thing, just more on the magical end of the spectrum here. you know, where you can learn to do that thing like riding a bike. Once you've experienced what it should feel like, it's much easier the next time. You know, and it's interesting because when we dream, the brain is firing in all of the same ways as if you were doing those things. In other words, when you're dreaming and you're running, the motor cortex of your brain fires as though you're running, except we are in sleep paralysis, so the body doesn't normally get up and run unless you have a sleep disorder. But if that's true, and science has told us that that's true, then when we do things like magic in the lucid dream, what's firing? Some parts of our brain that understand that action, and then we're waking up those synapses so that we can use them better here. You know, I truly believe that my effectiveness as a magician, you know, my ability to meet my goals and get everything done in a very sort of swift and competent way has increased immensely because of my practice of things in lucidity. So, you know, that's one of the things that I feel like is really valuable to anyone, because you can work on the thing that you want to get better at, whether it's magic or not, and then bring that skill set back to waking life more efficiently.
That's beautiful. And it does give you the same perspective, as you said, that you're working out a muscle, that physically you're not doing something here, but you're bridging that gap between the subconscious, the higher conscious, and the conscious mind, and teaching them to communicate together, right? Teaching them to
absolutely
to have that connectivity, so that there's a through line, so you can access these different ports. And then, you know, you find that some of the greatest thinkers in the world, folks, would do these things where they would hold ball bearings in their hand, and they would lay back and relax, and they would allow themselves to get into that 15-minute to 20-minute kind of almost sleep. And when their hand would open and drop the balls, that would wake them up. And it was in those moments, those golden moments, that they actually started to connect to a higher consciousness that they could keep in this realm, and that would help them produce more. And it's so many different people that you think I'm hallucinating here, folks, but it's true. It was like Thomas Edison, Nikola Tesla, many others that practice those short burst naps, if you will, which we also refer to as meditation, to help them combine so that they could think beyond the box, see problems solved in ways that we might be limited to in our current scope of understanding. We're taking our final break. We'll come back with Nikki Wardwell-Sleeth right after this. Oh, yeah. Sweet dreams are made of these. And if you've had trouble getting to that point, you want to pick up the book Dream Sorcery when it becomes available this May. Go pre-order it now. Save. And remember, don't just buy the books. When you read them, rate and review them. That costs you nothing. And you will go a long way in helping others find this book and discover it as well. Our guest this evening is author and researcher and experiencer and practitioner and teacher, Nikki Wardwell-Sleeth. All right, Nikki, we've got, it's going to go faster, about 5-6 minutes left together. What other aspects should we leave people with tonight? And listen, folks, I know you're like, Dave, but we've barely scratched the surface. That's why there's a book, so that you can check out the book and learn more. This is meant to give you the insights to entice you to be better, to learn and have a better life. And this is the first step. The next step is getting the books or reaching out to Nikki and finding out more about her teaching and practices. All right, so where do we want to take people next before we leave this?
Well, I do want people to have access to more. I mean, I have a website which is basically the hub for all of my offerings and stuff, which is just NikkiWardwellSleeth.com. And you can hook up with me on social media too, or whatever, if you have questions or, you know, want to ask things that go beyond what we talked here tonight. You know, I could go into divination. You know, that's another thing that is fantastic to do in lucid dreaming, meaning being able to get answers to psychic questions that you have. Again, you know, when you become anchored in the dream, you can shout out your divination question, you know, such as, what would it look like if I were to take the job promotion? Or, you know, what will my romantic life look like a year from now? And the dream will answer you in ways that you'll be able to interpret if you receive the response without expectation. So that's another great way to use the lucid space. But I think since we have limited time, you know, what I'd really like to say is that the reason why I'm so motivated to become lucid and to continue using that space is that I feel like it is the deepest magic, the deepest sense of high vibration spiritual experience that a person can have while physically embodied in this life. I'm an occultist who's been doing every kind of thing there is for 30 years, meaning I do the channeling of deities and I do psychic readings for people and I do shamanic healing work and I do hypnotherapy and all this other kinds of stuff. And there's nothing like lucid dreaming. There's nothing that compares to it for me as an experience magically. And so how I feel about it is this. I think that it is like the missing piece to enlightenment. I believe that when you can have the tools to wake up routinely within the dream, you are waking up to yourself as a spirit. And when you do magical experiments, you're getting to carry things out and witness how they work in a way that you can't do while we're here physically awake. Now, the old alchemists used to do this. And in the alchemy labs, when they were searching for the philosopher's stone, when they were trying to turn lead into gold, they had to do it in the lab because they understood that these mysteries take millions of years to play out on Earth, but they wanted to be able to absorb and witness that wisdom. So I look at lucid dreaming as the alchemy lab where we get to do things pretty quickly. We get to do them in ways that transcend the limitations of physical Earth, so that we can absorb that wisdom and expand what is possible with our conscious awareness. And so to me, lucid dreaming is that missing philosopher's stone, that missing ingredient that would have been the thing to tip the experiment from lead to gold. And if you are intrigued by that concept, then, you know, the practice of magical lucid dreaming may be for you, and it would be well worth your time to try to get into it. I can't stress that enough.
Life is full of remarkable opportunities, and we limit ourselves in the words that we let other people put on us, which are spells, right? It is a mm-hmm. spell. You yeah. have become the frog in your own fairy tale because you've allowed people to tell you you're fat, you're dumb, you're unattractive, you're not funny, you're this, you're that, and they've repeated this incantation and you've allowed it to take hold. You need to start working right. from within and doing this, using the dream realm, using these parts of the outside life and bringing them together so that you can have a more full, complete life so that you're the alchemist of your dreams. You're the alchemist of your living life and not letting others have that power. That's why I think things like this are so important. And I'm so happy to share when books like this come out and teachers like you present themselves, because I want people to start feeling empowered again. And we've seen amazing things happen when people come together and start focusing.
Right. And you're right. This is about personal empowerment, and lucid magic can alleviate so much suffering, because the way that you experience yourself in this broader, empowering, non-local, eternal nature really releases fears and stressors that we tend to hold on to in daily life. And there's so many ways to go about it in lucidity, but it does do that. It does release suffering and lead to a richer, more accomplished life.
Amazing. Thank you for the work you do, Nikki, and thank you for not just doing the work, but putting it down so that you can help others find a way out of the fog and find a way to start to have a better, richer, fuller life in a way that teaches them that it's within them that they can begin this journey. And that's fantastic. Re-empowerment is so important. And it's not just some tree-huggery hippie nonsense. It's real. and it exists. And we just have to find the teachers to get us there.
Yes, thank you. I mean, it really is such an honor to be able to do this work. And in writing and teaching and speaking, and, you know, I just hope to share and inspire as many people as possible. Any shred of inspiration that comes from this for each person is a huge boon.
Well, thank you very much. Lucid dreaming, my friends, isn't just a trick of the mind. It's a gateway to something deeper, something powerful. And Nikki Wardwell-Sleeth has shown us how to turn our dreams into magical laboratories where energy shifts, rituals take form, and the impossible becomes reality. So tonight, as you drift into sleep, ask yourself, are you just dreaming or are you stepping into a world of endless potential? That's it for the Paranormal 360. Until next time, stay curious, stay open, and keep exploring the unknown. I'm Dave Schrader, your host on this journey every Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on WCCO Radio.